struggled against it all year long.
Another run. Robinson. Not going to stop him. Robinson. Touchdown. Commanders.
CBS's telecast of a 40-7 whooping of the Panthers at Northwest Stadium yesterday. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Commanders have a bright future, and it's time for you to plan yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Condori & Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorney today, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you so you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Dan Quinn's press conference and an update from the team on Jaden Daniels in that presser at 3:30. So make sure you're listening in 1.5 hour. We've got Jeremy McNichols calling in at 4:30 today and Jay Gruden on the show for his weekly Monday breakdown at 5 o'clock. I want to see, from Jay's coaching perspective, if they changed anything at all when Daniels went out and Mariota came in. Because it did look like the exact same offense to me.
Yeah.
And this is why, when they knew they were going to draft Daniels, and we didn't know it yet, but they pretty clearly did, they went out and they signed Marcus Mariota. Daniels is better at everything, I would say. He's got a better arm, better arm strength. He's more explosive and dynamic and prolific as a runner. Like, they had similar college careers, if you remember. Mariota,
absolutely,
Oregon,
yeah,
was a Heisman Trophy winning, dual threat, like, awesome player. It seemed to me like he just kind of kept calling a lot of the same stuff, where you put a team in a bind with quarterback mobility and you went back to the well on a lot of the same looks with Mariota in the game.
The fact that you didn't have to dumb it down, even though Mariota has missed so much time and doesn't have the first team reps, obviously, that Daniels has. I mean, and rightfully so, by the way. You want Daniels to soak up as much as humanly possible. I mean, he should be featured morning, noon, and night. But the fact that they were able to kind of, after a really initial slow start for Mariota, just to, again, as you said, hit the ground running, was a real testament. So I get there's a value in that.
We're live all over the DMV on 106.7 The Fan and in Richmond on AM 910 FM 105.1. You can watch us streaming in high def on YouTube at the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page throughout the show as well. There's a lot of ways to celebrate the 5-2 start and get in on the action with us today, including on social. We're at Grant H. Paulson, Twitter and Instagram. Danny is at Funny Danny. Let's go to game balls and gassers. There's going to be a lot more game balls, I would think, than gassers today, frankly. But let's go get some game balls here, Darius.
How about Dante Fowler Jr.? Have a day, young man. The pick six to get things moving. As Carolina, by the way, good plan, good design to start the game. A couple really neat bits of misdirection, some really good running plays. Everyone was focused and worried about Chuba Hubbard in the middle. Well, how about a couple things on the outside? Oh, wait, it's ruined because Dante Fowler was a fly in the ointment there for a touchdown just to get things rolling.
Whoever was behind the planning, coordination, execution of Daryl Green's celebration, I do not yet take for granted that things go as well and seamlessly as that did and are done with the class and respect that that was. Every single element of the lead-up to the Daryl Green celebration, starting earlier in the week with his media tour, through him getting a key to the city from the mayor, to the halftime presentation with Adam Peters and Josh Harris on the field, Harris getting a massive pop from the crowd as he addressed everybody and welcomed Daryl Green out for his remarks, to the family being bussed in, joining him on the red carpet. Just a very well done event. It felt big leagues. It felt like a professional organization having an important celebration. And I'm not that far removed, and neither are you guys, from Sean Taylor's family being rushed out to the stadium as a distraction and standing in front of urinals. So I guess porta potties.
Porta potties.
There are probably urinals in there, but porta potties is what I was looking for. It was a very, very odd situation. And we are nowhere near that anymore. And for that, I say kudos to everybody involved behind the scenes for putting on a great show.
Marcus Mariota, it's obvious, came in and played really well. It could have gone differently. It could have gone poorly, in fact. And we wouldn't be sitting here talking about, wow, they didn't miss a beat and give Kingsbury his flowers. Could have been turnovers. Could have been bad plays. Could have been a bunch of different things that might have happened, but they didn't. Stepped in, 18 to 23, 205 yards, averaging 9 yards per completion for a couple of touchdowns. Only sacked the one time, a 132.8 quarterback rating. Yes, please.
Terry McLaurin, when he was needed to help his struggling quarterback out and get him going. He stepped up big time on the 92-yard drive before the half that got Mariota in rhythm. Six catches overall for 98 yards for Terry. You know, that is a 102 catch pace over the course of a season. That is a 1,665-yard season. 6 for 98 might not sound like a monster game. That's a really significant performance. Again, especially when you're up by a million and not throwing it a ton in the final quarter of the game to your number one wide receiver. So I thought he played really well, caught all six of his targets. Not only were there no drops, but there were contested catches. He was bailing guys out occasionally in terms of, you know, balls that maybe weren't placed perfectly. I thought he was excellent.
Well, Mikey Sanders still. You noticed number zero, didn't you? Led the team in tackles, had a tackle for a loss, broke up a pass. He is physical. You know what he's not afraid to do is hit. I don't know how well, I don't know how long that's going to last. I don't know if, you know, there's a Derrick Henry around the bend that gives him a truck stick here, there, everywhere. But he comes flying up, attacks downhill, and lays wood on folks. Really, really impressive young player. I thought he played great yesterday.
Frankie Louvu is really good. I love Frankie Louvu. I don't have a whole lot new to say about number four. Those of you that were around in the offseason when they were making moves know that this is my favorite addition they made. I just thought, even if he didn't make a lot of plays, which are a given, what he's going to provide as a heart and soul guy in the locker room was going to be a game changer organizationally. But he is so competent, no matter what you're asking him to do, dropping, moving around, coming downhill and thumping and stopping the run. I love him as a pass rusher. If they wanted to employ him as an edge all the time, just rushing off the edge, I believe he could go get 14 sacks. Like, I really think he's that type of pass rusher. He had another one yesterday to take over the team lead at the time in sacks on the season. But Frankie Louvu all day, every day for me.
Brian Robinson, speaking of thumping, how about that?
He's good.
How about that? You could see when he gets the football, there's a little bit of shoulder slump from the team, the opposite team. Carolina yesterday, oh, crap, it's number eight. Like, no one's real excited to tackle him. Think about just even on the touchdown. That's a microcosm. Contact was made not at the goal line, well in front of the goal line. There are two individuals whose job it is to stop his progress. Did they? They did not. He goes right through them as though they're not really there and is able to strength his way, to body lean his way, to effort and endeavor his way into the end zone. Just a powerful, frustrating the play against dude. Glad he's ours.
Cliff Kingsbury. So wait a second. I got to go out for 48 minutes of football, and I got to coach up offense without Jaden Daniels, the one-man band, the guy that supposedly is the only straw stirring this drink. I'll tell you what I'll do. We're going to go hang 420 yards and 6.7 per play on a bad defense. We're going to go out, and we're going to run the ball for 214 net, and I'm going to have the exact same passing efficiency and success with Marcus Mariota that we've had all year long with Jaden Daniels. Because my scheme is really good, because I've got a good thing going right here and right now for whoever's on the field. You want to challenge me with Jeff Driskel? We'll keep moving the pill. Tress, you go have a seat. This offense is awesome, and Kingsbury deserves a lot of credit.
Marquise Haynes and I believe Lonnie Johnson from the Carolina Panthers. Those are the guys that tackled Jaden Daniels and broke his rib, or whatever they did, whatever they did to his rib. Hurt his ribs, hurt his midsection. That's what caused the hit. That's what caused the problem. That's what's got me all in my feelings in a very weird way. Well, I didn't want to do that yesterday. All I wanted to do was watch my team beat your team. And we got to do that, but you kind of ruined it. You sort of ruined the vibe. We still had a good party, but you guys got rid of the music at like 8 o'clock and then turned all the lights on. It made it weird. So, yesterday, you guys.
You were bummed, by the way, for a little while. On
like,
the text
like
chain?
Down.
And I get it. Before we got the update on Dan, well, there really hasn't been one. We'll get an official update from Dan Quinn. But I will say, before he came back out or looked okay on the sideline, like everybody else, I think we're all in the same boat. You're kind of nervous and wondering, did he crack a rib? Is this a 3 or 4 week thing? Like, what's going to happen here? But like, they're still moving and scoring, and you were kind of like, ah, whatever. What's going on?
Seriously,
with Dayton?
Yeah. And not to trivialize it, but that's how I was feeling. I'm glad they won, obviously. It's way better they beat the hell out of a bad team than the other
come
alternative.
Come the end of the season when he's back and healthy and they're scratching and clawing for whatever seed
100%.
Or they're trying to get to, this is going to matter.
Yeah, it was certainly important. But like, to me, this was the... Again, this is not to get too deep on it, but Sunday morning, a couple weeks ago, as you know, I got sideswiped with both my kids in the car. Everything was fine. Everything was awesome. We were having a great morning until like that. Now, everyone's fine, so it's not like nowhere near as that dramatic, and it's not like life-altering. People have their lives altered all the time. But that was my reminder. That was my, it can all change in an instant. That's how fleeting this all is. This era of good feelings and good vibes where it's like, can you believe how great this is? I can't believe it. Could you believe it either? Me neither. What's the greatest part? Let's compare notes about what's so great. One play. Just gone in a microsecond. And that weight didn't feel very good for a couple hours yesterday.
Let's hit the phones for the first time on G&D. Remember Dan Quinn in about 15 minutes with an update on Jaden Daniels. B's in Haymarket. What's good, B?
What's happening, fellas? Hey, game ball goes to the offensive line and the organization. I took my 9-year-old daughter to the game for her first game, and she got to see four things, and I got to see it through her eyes. She got to see me have a conversation with a well-dressed man, and, you know, we shook hands and talked for about 45 seconds. Who's that, Dad? Oh, that's the owner of the team. She got to stand behind a future Hall of Famer in line who took time out of his schedule or his day to take a picture with her and my wife. She got to see me and her high-fiving people in the stands. Dad, you know him? Nope, perfect stranger. At the end of the day, and the fourth thing was the traffic wasn't that bad. At the end of the day, she got to experience one of the best days of her life. And she'll be a Burgundy and Gold fan for life now. I have no doubt in that.
That's
cool,
goal.
Dude.
I mean, that's what we're looking for. Remember the guy at the golf course we were at the very start of the season said, should I take my kids to the Giants game or the Panthers game? Because I really want to make sure my kid sees a win, the team play well. I'm trying to hook him on the Commanders. I hope he chose the Panthers.
Yeah, we told him Panthers. That's your best bet. Even if they're better than the Giants, they just don't play them great.
Right. I hope they were at that game and he's listening right now and the kid is now hooked. On that offensive line, I want to give them a little credit.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday they did an outstanding job in pass protection. In terms of PFF grade, they all graded out as plus. Wiley, Allegretti, Cosme, Coleman, Dieter, Lucas. Now, Brandon Coleman, who was playing well on his three pass drops at the time, did end up having a concussion, and he did not finish the game. At center, Dieter played five snaps for Biotis, who came back in. So they were, you know, banged up for sure, but they gutted through it. And if you look at it, Wiley did not give up a single pressure, 28 dropbacks. Allegretti gave up one hurry and 28 dropbacks, which is harmless. Cosme gave up one hit on the quarterback and 28 dropbacks. Cornelius Lucas did give up the only sack of the game, but that was one of just two pressures and 26 dropbacks. It was another brilliant game by this offensive line, and they have done a really, really good job. And again, my Adam Peters siren or whatever we're going to be doing, like kudos to this front office, he and Newmark, that built this thing.
They found good fits.
Richard, Front Royal, you're on the Fan. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
Good, buddy.
I have a game ball for Adam Peters for hiring the correct coaching staff and putting all the players into place, so that when we lose our amazing franchise quarterback, we don't lose a single step. And a sarcastic gasser to Cliff Kingsbury for potentially stealing away Tressway's Pro Bowl nomination this year.
Tip of the cap. That's a good
bit.
Yeah,
that is a gas. You take a gasser.
Can he go as a holder? Can Tress go as a holder?
Go. Let's get Tress to just... Do they have holding in the flag football games? Are they even doing any of that?
I'm going to say yes, but I can't prove it.
Okay. How about we just have Tress go and play some receivers?
Let him go.
Let him, or quarterback, Puma. Let's rage. He's done that once or twice, throw a pass in a game.
There was once, by the way, sorry, I know we're jumping to the call, where on a punt, Carolina started creeping in. Did you notice this? I could have sworn I saw Tressway glance to the right. So it would have been the top of the screen. It looked like Carolina had a punt block on. So they initially were mugging up, double teaming the gunner on the high side of the screen. One guy comes running, the second guy kind of threatened to. And I was wondering if there was like some sort of automatic check or something like that where Tress thought about it. Of course, he punted away. It was nondescript. They were up by 30 at that point. But I'm going, if they Puma here also, I'm not going to be able to contain myself.
There was only one punt. So it
would have been that punt.
It must have been on that punt.
It was the punt
of Tressway because he only punted once.
One time.
Just more than his average for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Sean on Grant and Danny. How are you, buddy?
It's another day, my friend. How about you?
Good, dude.
Well, it was my first game, live game in 24 years, and I want to give my game ball to the crowd, the fans of FedEx Field. Well, I'm sorry, Northwest Stadium.
Thank you.
It was 37-0, and barely anybody left. I looked around. We were on defense. Everybody was still standing. I'm not used to that. I don't know what's going on, man. It's strange.
What is going on? I mean, it is wild. They are not just winning. Like my buddy said, I was actually walking out of the game. I met up to ride back in the parking lot with my crew. And as I'm walking over there, a buddy I know comes up to me and he's like, when's the last time they were 3-0 at home? I said, 2005. He's like, it's just weird coming to the game, seeing them win, leaving happy. I said, I don't even think it's really that they're winning, though. Like, they won the Giants game. I don't know that you left that Giants game necessarily hugging strangers.
Yeah. You're glad they won. It was great. Exactly. But you're not convinced that you're now witnessing something.
Week two, Daniels, of his career, and his second half was awesome, and there's real ascension. So, like, there was optimism. But this is not just winning. This is dominating. This is what the best teams in the league have done. Not consistently, because even those teams don't consistently dominate. But think about if you've been to Northwest Stadium now, throughout the course of this football season, what you've seen, okay? The Giants game, the first game, is tight. They hang on 21-18. But the only other home games are 34-13 over the Browns, where they pull all their starters in the third at the end of the third quarter. The game was over at halftime, by the way. And this, yesterday, 40-7, their largest margin of victory since 2015. They beat the Saints, I think, similarly by 33 in the Kirk Cousins perfect passer rating game, if you remember. But, like, yeah, he's right. It's weird. I don't know either, man. Like, I don't know what to tell
you. If you went the last two times they played at home, 74-20 is the combined score over those two games. What? Like, I don't know. There's no analysis to follow.
Yes.
That's the information. Do with it what you will. I'm going to just shake my head in that like goofy smile bewilderment, like Andy Dufresne after he got beers for his coworkers.
And someone wants to say somewhere, they're playing bad teams. And to that I say, go away, idiot. Because it doesn't matter. They're not winning by a point. They're winning by 40 and 30 and 25. Like, they're crushing bad teams. If they were winning 10-7, then you could say, oh, they're not very good. They beat the Panthers 10-7. They beat them. They outscored them by six times what Carolina managed. Go away.
Yeah.
And I would reiterate that a month ago, that same person was saying they were the Panthers, for the record. Now, it's not impressive when you beat the Panthers 40-7 because they're only the Panthers. See those goalposts? They're not where they were.
I can't see them anymore. Where'd they go?
They just keep moving.
Oh.
Bears in town this weekend. So for the first time, back-to-back weeks where you'll be at home at Northwest Stadium. And with Chicago coming to visit the Commanders, a potential Caleb Williams-Jaden Daniels showdown. I hope we don't get robbed of. We'll get a little more intel on that from Dan Quinn when he speaks at the bottom of the hour at about 3:30 right here on The Fan. So make sure you are listening when we come back so that you get that press conference. Somebody wanted to give Emmanuel Forbes a game ball for his first interception of the season. Second of his career. It was actually a good football play.
I thought so.
Now, you could say it was a bad ball. It wasn't. Going back and watching it.
Receiver just quits, it looks like.
Andy Dalton expects him to kind of get across the face of Forbes. He keeps running upfield. They saw two different things. And Deontay Johnson, who did not practice all week, which is not lost on me, didn't run the route correctly. But even still, Forbes has his face to Dalton, kind of zoning, flat-footed, jumps on the ball. That's why they drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
Make a couple of plays, and the bad stuff doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, that was just a good play. Like, you take advantage of their mistake. That's kind of what we're doing here.
Two takeaways. Zero turnovers again.
Uh-huh.
Plus two. They do all of the good football team stuff. It's almost like they're a good football team.
They never punt.
Mm-hmm. They win the turnover battle.
Yep.
They get the ball back with 2 minutes, and they trust themselves to go score with a backup quarterback. They don't put their foot on the brake at the end of the game. Bad team comes to their place, and they send them home in shame. It's almost like they're really good.
Huh. Would you look at that?
Grant and Danny, can't wait to hear what DQ says in a few minutes right here on The Fan.
The city's feeling it as well.
And number five is a big reason why. It's Daniels on first down. Huge gain for Daniels. Chunks of yards for Daniels. A double dose.
Charles Davis and Ian Eagle is heard on the call on CBS in that highlight. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. We are awaiting the start of Dan Quinn's press conference imminently. Should be any moment now. We'll get the latest right off the bat on Jaden Daniels from DQ. So make sure you keep it right here on The Fan for that. Just got a message in to Instagram, at Grant H. Paulson for me, on Twitter and Instagram, at Funny Danny for DR on all things social. Zach says, what do you think we will do at the tight end position? I really like Bates, but he does not do much more than block. He's not a big-time receiving threat. My response is, number one, John Bates is an unsung hero. That guy blocks his butt off, and he's a big part of why they're good in the running game.
We'll whisper quiet. Yeah.
Jay Gruden in 90 minutes at 5 o'clock today. Jeremy McNichols, by the way, calling in at 4:30. He could attest to this, I'm sure. But one of the reasons they're so good at running the ball is not just the Daniels element, as we saw when he was out of the game yesterday. Their tight ends are great blockers. Sinnott, who caught his first touchdown, first two catches. Bates, and even Ertz. I think Sinnott's going to have to show more and show that he can be a receiver in the second half of the season, or else maybe there will be a need for a pass-catching tight end next year, to be clear.
Uh-huh.
But I think from a blocking standpoint, Bates ain't going anywhere, and Sinnott's not going anywhere, because those guys are weapons in that regard.
Yeah, and then you do just enough in the passing game in terms of leaking them out. You got a touchdown to Sinnott here this week for his first catch, but you do just enough to keep teams honest as well, right, just so they don't sit on it. They've been doing a great job.
All right, let's get to the podium, see what Dan Quinn has to say about Jaden Daniels as we've been waiting for the update all day long.
What's up, everybody? And I know the most important thing everyone is waiting on is Jaden's health. And so I'll start there and I'll update you with what I have. That's what we discussed last night. The status for Jaden we'll put down as week to week. As you guys know, it's a rib injury. And we'll take him through, you know, all the steps at practice and assess how he's doing and keep working it through that. We're hopeful he can play, but we'll also make sure to take every precautionary step and do it smartly for the player and the man. And so I want to make sure I gave you all the updates that I had. And so it's not going to be something that's going to knock him out for a long term. And so, like I said, we're going to list it as week to week. And like I said, hopefully we'll play this week and we'll take it every day of it all the way through. So glad to open up with you guys and get rolling.
Okay, go ahead, Nikki.
Are you able to say what exactly he is dealing with?
Rib injury. And so the injury came, this kind of fell awkwardly on the opening play. I think you'd asked me that last night, Nick. I want to make sure I got back to you on that as well. So it was the opening play. He was able to finish out that drive, but it was the best, you know, call to wait it out. And like I said, we'll see where he is, you know, going through the steps at practice this week, and we'll make a decision as we go. But literally, like, we're not going to miss one step of this. You know, all the way through, it's really important to get it right, and we will.
And medical stuff aside, I know that doctors have their say in all of this, but for you as a coach, what do you need to see from him this week to make you comfortable that he can?
Yeah, and I think he's such a unique player that I want to make sure he can be him fully in his own way. And the movement, the, you know, throwing and all the stuff that would go with that, as you can imagine. So I know he'll do everything he can, but I'll trust my eyes and certainly know him well. So, like I said, we'll take it every step of the way.
John Kahn.
Yeah, just kind of playing off that, is this a pain management thing? Is it more restrictive on his throwing? What will be the biggest challenge for him with this?
as you're going through it, like most times when there's like a core injury, John, it's more just, you know, the movements and all that goes into throwing and playing the position. So for him, going through that whole process, you know, will be an important one for him. So any of the time it's with the core, it's with the movements.
And then for decision-making, you said you go with your eyes. How much will you also rely on him and where he's at? And do you almost have to temper some of that because you know how he would badly he'd want to be out there?
Yeah, that part we all know from all of us that know Jaden. Like, he is at his core a true competitor, and we wouldn't expect anything different than that. But we'll really trust you know, our eyes, the medical staff, and like I said, we're going to make sure, John, we assess this every day and make sure when he's able to be him fully in that space, you know, then we'll let it rip. But we'll just take it, you know, as we're going through the whole week. We got practice to assess and movements and going through it, and then each day we'll have a better update.
Head coach Dan Quinn, addressing reporters live in Ashburn, says that the Commanders are hoping Jaden Daniels can play. They'll be thorough in his recovery this week.
So, Dan, to some degree, this is why you guys go out and get a Marcus Mariota, somebody who has this experience. Does the fact that he has the same sort of, or not the same stuff, but like has that mobility, is that, was that ultimately like a big factor to have somebody who has a similar style? I guess he came before Jaden, you know what I mean? Like somebody that has a similar style to what you were looking at.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Ben, on that. And I think what it also shows is, like, you know, we take that part, you know, really important. We hate that these, you know, types of injuries happen, and, you know, God forbid when they do, you want to make sure you're absolutely, you know, ready to deliver in that space. And Marcus is that type of player. And as much as you don't want that, those injuries to happen at any position in the NFL, we know it does. And so for him to step into that space, it was an important win. Certainly not a great one with, you know, players being injured, but it was an important one. And on the sideline, you can see the support that Marcus got, you know, from his teammates. And I think that goes a long way of being ready and all the things that happen when no one's watching. You know, the staying after practice, going through a 2 minute to get ready. And it, sure enough, it happened right before the half to go down the field on a 2 minute. He literally had done that on Friday, Ben, post practice with a bunch of guys and going through to get full speed reps. So it's funny how those things, you know, come up and you're ready and you're able to deliver. So that's Marcus, you know, being ready when called upon.
And I know this isn't necessarily a plug-and-play operation, but the fact that you guys were able to maintain the efficiency and that you've had throughout the year, what does that kind of say just about how the offense is running right now?
Yeah, I think it shows there's a lot of confidence in the plan of what we would do and how to feature the players of doing the things, you know, that they do best. And so I wasn't surprised to see Marcus perform well. We've all seen it. What I thought was really strong, Ben, was this is a guy that missed a month, you know, of being on IR at the start. And so for him to battle back from an injury and get back into the reps, that took work to do that. And so he got some playing time early in one of the games. Can't remember which one right now, but, you know, that was important to get going. And then this one to get in for the almost the whole game. So I think Jaden, you know, left after the first drive. So that was a big deal.
Sam, will this situation prompt you guys to reconsider at all the role of design quarterback runs in the offense?
It would not. On this one, Sam, that Jaden ended up getting injured, it was honestly more like a scramble. You know, there was a lead blocker outside. He was, you know, 30, 35 yards down the field. So, no, that's not the type of design run that we would move from.
Is the coaching point to him on that? Like, is it okay that he cut back in the middle of the field, or what is the coaching point, I guess, to him if there is one at all?
Yeah, he was really trying to work off the safety at first, and so to cut across his face, he was trying to go score. And so as he was getting down the field, I thought from the design standpoint it was good, and he just, you know, kind of fell awkwardly on it. So it was not a function, Sam, in this particular case of, you know, running in the A gap and, you know, getting hit by a defensive tackle. You know, it was a down the field run that in a lot of ways would have felt like a scramble if you just saw the second half of the play, not the first half, if that makes sense. You're welcome.
David Aldridge.
Dan, I am assuming that part of your evaluation of Jaden this week will involve him trying out different types of pads and wraps to see what he's comfortable in terms of throwing motion and all of that.
Not as much, Dave, on the pad. He already has, you know, a specific one. In this instance, it's really going to be more of the rotational part of things and to see how that part would go and what it looks like to make sure he can have all the movements down. He's got a pretty secure padding. It seems smaller, but it's you know, like where it protects over the ribs like a lot of the quarterbacks have. You know, it's protected strongly there.
I guess I was wondering if he would try a flak jacket on or anything, or if that would even be a help for him.
Not in this instance. Okay. The one that he has good protection. It was really more a function of, you know, like kind of being torqued in a different way as opposed to an impactful play. Okay. Like an impact play, excuse me, not an impactful play.
Scott?
Hey, Dan. You guys are calling this a rib injury. Can you expand on that? I know some fans are worried that maybe the rib's broken, bruised. Can you kind of expand on that?
Sure. A little bit, Dan? The best thing, Sam, I can say, I mean, Scott, excuse me, for the fans, this is not something that's a long-term issue, and that's why we listed him as week-to-week. And like I said, we're hopeful he'll play this weekend, but we're not going to miss one step, you know, as it goes through it.
How's his demeanor today? Is he already like, I'm playing on Sunday, Coach. Can you kind of explain that?
I think you can probably figure that one out on your own, Scott, from being around Jaden for one day. But yeah, he was doing great today. You know, same way last night. And but that's really how he's wired.
Candy?
Carly, did you call on me?
Yep.
Make it short.
Yep, that's you.
Hi, Candy.
Dan Quinn meeting with the media in Ashburn right now, talking Jaden Daniels' health. They are hopeful he can play on Sunday. Let's listen in for a couple more moments.
I think Friday, Candy, was a really cool demonstration of that. So we finished our practice on Friday, and after that, they went over to get, you know, more two-minute work in. And so it was Kaz and Mitch and Bryson and others, and they honestly went right down the field. So I think it speaks one to the importance
of, as they
like,
pivot now onto the rest of the team in the game. We could cover that part. 40-7, they beat up on Carolina pretty good. There was a quote that came out of Dave Canales today talking with the media where he said the film was humbling. That happens when you play these 2024 juggernaut commanders.
Yes, it does.
You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be humbled. But how about that? That is great news. Everything was trending in the way of it not being long-term or significant, but they're hopeful. I didn't think Dan Quinn would even say that today. They're hopeful that he can play Sunday against Chicago. I'll give Dan Quinn another game ball for just being honest.
How about that?
I mean, they could have come out today and done this let's wait around all week and pretend bit. He didn't say outright he's going to play. They don't know yet, but they are hopeful that he will be able to.
Yeah, the week-to-week is more significant than day-to-day and a lot less significant than, yeah, it's going to be a, you know, IR stint, right? I mean, this is a – you've got to be patient with these sorts of things when it comes to ribs. Everybody that's had a rib injury knows it just – it takes a while. It just does.
Should they do anything different with how they call plays or what they ask of him if he plays against the Bears? We'll get into that next in a quick double play as well on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Last night, excuse me. The status for Jaden, we'll put down as week to week. As you guys know, it's a rib injury, and we'll take him through, you know, all the steps at practice and assess how he's doing and keep working it through that. We're hopeful he can play, but we'll also make sure to take every precautionary step and do it smartly for the player and the man.
Dan Quinn called Jaden Daniels week to week, but what he actually described is day to day, frankly, which is to say he said they're hopeful he will play on Sunday and not miss any time. He also said that they're going to be really thorough with the recovery, and I think you have to be, not only because he's a rookie quarterback in the face of the franchise, and we know what happens when you aggressively allow that young player to make decisions for themselves, but because they are 5-2. They are playing a conference, but not a division game. And then they get into some division part of their schedule with New York after that. and Philly not long from now either. So if there's such a thing as being extra careful when you say 90% or something, it's just math in terms of tie-breaking metrics and what matters the most. The games after the Chicago game matter a little more, but if he can play, they're going to let him play. He's just got to prove that he's healthy, not bothered, and can be himself.
Yeah, the last part's the most key thing. And again, we've gone through this before here, haven't we? No need to further reference that. But in terms of a rib or kind of that part of the body, if you ever had an injury, I broke my ribs in 2019 actually, and the amount of time it took, even once everything was healed. I wasn't healed. You know what I mean? Like, you still feel it. You still, like, you're horse around with your kids, and it'll sort of grab at you. And that's, like, obviously I'm not athletic and I'm old, but, and he's playing NFL football, but you can imagine it might be a little bit more difficult to do that activity where people are hitting you and crunching you and, you know, tackling you, and you got to be able to count on your body, no questions asked. That really is an essential pain management thing, where sometimes you talk about a muscle rehabbing where you don't have the ability to make it fire, where, like, you tell your pulled muscle, go! And the muscle doesn't go because it can't fire. This is a comfort, pain management. You know, can I be myself? Can I not favor anything? Can I not favor it as I'm trying to run, throw, do everything I need to do to be on the football field and be himself? So it's interesting that he said that the part that threw me, because week to week says we're going to be patient, we're going to be cautious. The hopeful he might play this weekend part, I went, oh, wait a minute. That's interesting.
So I'm not surprised that they are hopeful he can play based on the fact that he was back on the sideline. If it's a serious injury, that doesn't happen. Based on the fact that he was kind of showing the fans as best he could walking off the field after the win, that he was fine with the arms being hoisted over his head, kind of waving to them. That was telling. I'm just surprised that Quinn gave as much information he did. And I find it to be really refreshing and awesome, frankly. And I thank him for his forthright candor. Because the fans were all locked in. Everybody wants to know in town, is this kid okay? And I thought he kind of met the moment and didn't do coach speak and didn't keep secrets and say, we'll see, we can't give you anything, we're going to keep... No. Just come out and tell us what's going on. And it sounds like they're hopeful that he can play. So that's really, really good news. I just think that I would need to be 100% certain, because there is no I'm not running today in Jaden Daniels' game. There is no, I'm not going to get hit today, chip in his brain, I don't think. When he plays football, he plays football.
Mm-hmm.
It's backyard quarterback. There's a lot of from the pocket efficiency and success because he can sling it. But when he leaves that pocket, there's a street ball, let's go make a play thing that I just think is part of the beauty, but is also worrisome if you're not completely healthy. And that's where I need to be sure, because I don't think, if I'm putting him out there, Cliff Kingsbury, we're calling the game how we call the game. There will be zero situation where he plays and Cliff goes in going, all right, I'm tearing these pages out. We're not running the read option. We're not having him do nakeds on a 4th-and-1. Can't call this. If there's a single play you feel like you don't want to or can't call, he shouldn't play. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I tend to be way more cautious than a lot of folks, to the point of irritation, I think, when it comes to...
I think a lot of people just want to see the Williams-Daniels match.
Well, yeah, but just in general, when the whole franchise is on your shoulders, sorry, if they get linebacker right in 3 years, that's great. He matters. I don't do the if he's at any further risk than normal. I don't care we had this debate a million times. I don't want to rehash it again, but not you and me. I mean, everybody. The difference between cleared and himself.
Yeah.
If he's himself with no limitations, and I mean none, then he plays. Like, my default right now is that I am not even going to let him think about playing against Chicago. Right? Like, that there's got to be a huge mountain climbed threshold beaten where I have no doubt in my mind, he's got no doubt, and everybody's hunky-dory good to go. But, like, the percentage for me right now, if I'm in charge, it's very low that he would play this weekend.
But to the reality of the situation, right now I feel like he would play. I feel this moment after Quinn just spoke like it is more likely that he starts against the Bears than he doesn't. And I don't know that I would have felt that way before he spoke. Real quick for our double play, I want to bring in Clary to talk about the vibes at the stadium. He was our show representative at Northwest Stadium for the 40-7 whooping of the Panthers. So, Ryan, how was it?
It was awesome. Like, going into this, I mean, as a kid, I would go basically, I mean, probably at least 4 games a year, really, back when I was younger. And we haven't really been back. I've only been to a Commanders game, or Redskins game as well, probably like 4 times over the last like 6 seasons, really.
You guys had season tickets until when?
Until like 2009, maybe, I believe.
Okay.
But I went back and it was awesome. Like, the fan experience was really cool. They made a ton of upgrades that we can obviously see. I mean, one thing that I really kind of took away from it was the space. They had a ton of space in the concourse, in which I don't really remember that. I mean, luckily enough, I sat in the 300s in the club section. The club section was awesome. The food was pretty good. I mean, it's stadium food. It's a little pricey, but again, I was telling you guys before the game that I will pay however much it is just to get a decent burger or chicken tenders, whatever it is, if my team is good, and the team was good yesterday. So I thought the
burger tastes a little better when they hang 40.
Exactly.
40 burgers taste the best. Yeah.
The 40 burgers are delish.
And one thing I will say is concessions move really quick. Like, I went in between a series for a TV timeout, and it moved like within 2 minutes, about 10 people ahead of me.
I don't know if they have these on the club level. The game changer that I have seen at the stadium from my own eyes so far is, though, in most stadiums already had this, but they didn't for some reason. Those speed markets, they installed them everywhere. Walk in, grab your beer, grab your chips, grab your hot dog, whatever, scan and get out. Those are such just a no-brainer, but they do seem to have been a game changer.
They do. And walking around the concourse before the game, I mean, I saw everybody was taking advantage of those. And I thought that it was really cool because, again, this was not something that you would get in the previous regime. Like, you'd get a long line at Johnny Rockets, you wait 40 minutes for 2 chicken tenders, pay $20 for it, and your team would also stink. And you are still paying the price for pretty hefty concessions there, but still, the experience was fun. Like, I told Grant before the show today, I actually want to go back. And in previous years, I would go to FedEx Field or Northwest Stadium, whatever we're calling it nowadays, and I would never want to go back. It was awful, but I can say now I do actually want to go
back.
You're
like, I went, I did my thing. Now, this year you go, wouldn't mind seeing that Bears game.
So can you separate because again, when they're playing good football, it's awesome. Can you separate that part from the stadium experience? You see what I'm saying? Like, obviously they won, so everything tastes better, but
I think it's mostly the winning part, too. I mean, honestly, for a lot of people.
Like, I think it's part of the experience overall. I mean, like, if the team is good, like, I will wait in a line because you're expecting to wait in a line when there's a ton of fans there. And it's a little bit more fun when it's only Commanders fans as well and not Eagles or Giants or Cowboys fans. But it was an incredible experience, and kudos to the organization, man. Like, they have turned it around. They really have.
All right, let's go blitzing next. We'll get you the latest on the NFL and the Commanders on Grant and Danny. Remember, lay of the land ahead. You'll hear from Jeremy McNichols, running back, who averaged 6 yards a carry again yesterday on his 7 rushes. He's calling in at 4:30. We got Jay Gruden on the show at 5 on the Fan.